Some advice for writers from the reader's perspective. Three things you can do to make your audience adore you. This time on Be the Story. Welcome to Be the Story. I'm Tim King. I hope you're all having a great holiday season. I know I'm having a great holiday season, have lots of holiday plans. And so let me get right to it so that we can all return to our great holiday plans. There are a few new postings on BeTheStory.com. Firstly, last Thursday was the first episode of Be the Story Spotlight. This past Thursday's episode was a 4-minute review of the story-based video game Psychonauts, which you've heard me mention before on this podcast, by Tim Schafer and his team at Double Fine Productions. The game has a great story, and it's excellently implemented, so be sure to listen to that. Another small item, not directly related to stories or telling stories, Paula B., over at The Writing Show, has been doing a series of episodes telling her story about how she and her husband opened an online bookstore. They invested lots of time and money and finally went out of business. I just love small business stories, and so I think I would love this story regardless of whether it was a success or a failure. And hers is additionally a story from the perspective of a small online bookstore dealing with the writing, or rather the publishing industry from that perspective. That's a completely different viewpoint than what you usually hear in the various writing podcasts and so forth. Thirdly, Kiki Optenberg's latest episode of her podcast, The Kissy Bits, which is about romance writing without cooties. Kiki's latest episode kind of set me off, and she was actually answering a question that T. Morris of the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy, a question that he posed. What's the difference between a romance story with other genre elements in it? What's the difference between that and a genre story with romantic elements in it? Where do you draw the line between one genre of story and the other? How do you tell the difference? How do you tell the stories apart? And so I have, at least from a reader's perspective, a slightly different take on the answer to that question. And so I posted over on BeTheStory.com, and Kiki commented on my posting. It's really fascinating how big of a difference a viewpoint shift can make, even in considering the validity of the question, never mind the answer to the question. I should add that both Kiki's and T's podcasts are really turning out to be great, and so definitely, if you're into writing or just interested in learning more about the writing business and the writing industry, check out those podcasts. When we come back from this message, I'll give you my top three things that I think, when writers do these things well, they really make the story something special. Be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Mer Lafferty from Geek Foo Action Grip. I'd like to take a break from this excellent podcast to tell you about Hurricane Katrina. Well, it's very likely you already know about Hurricane Katrina, but what you may not know, and what may interest you, is that in the wake of the disaster, several professionals from the RPG industry, including writers, editors, illustrators, and layout got together and wrote a book. Beyond the Storm, Shadows of the Big Easy is a collection of short stories, essays, art, and role-playing game materials inspired by the culture, landscape, and city of New Orleans. With contributions from three continents and from across the spectrum of role-playing, the book has all proceeds from the sale going to support Katrina disaster relief. Join the authors and artists as they explore the Big Easy as it could have been and how it might be in the future. Beyond the Storm is now available for purchase in PDF and print formats. You can check it out at lulu.com or beyondthestorm.us.
This is a list of opinions. My top three things that I think make a story great are going to be different than your top three. But the three that I've chosen, I think, are very important. And what's more, they are rules so often I see writers not paying very much attention to. I also should add that as I go through this list, there are going to be several blinding flashes of the obvious. As they say, obvious means overlooked. So if I'm stating the obvious, please bear with me. The top thing you can do as a writer to make your audience adore you, and this is going to be a mouthful, introduce us to complex characters who experience the extraordinary and will never be the same again. I know, that's at least four different things all crammed into one. But what this basically boils down to, I think, in terms of writing, is keep the basics strong. Let's look at that one piece at a time. Introduce us to the characters. Don't just tell us about these characters. We want to see them. We want to live through them. We want to get to know them. We want you to put them, as a writer, into situations that they do not want to be in, and we want to see how they react so that we can learn what these people are like, so that we can understand what makes them tick. This is the storyteller's credo of show, don't tell. Don't tell us what the characters are like. Show us. Involve us. Make us a part of the story. Not mere observers. They also have to be complex characters, three-dimensional, deep characters, like real people. Real people rarely are simple. Real people have quirks, they have habits, they act without thinking, and sometimes they even think without acting. They'll say one thing and go do another. They have passions, they have impulses. Frequently, they don't make sense. They have a worldview that is self-contradictory, and they're very happy with that self-contradictory worldview. And you want to grab them by the throat and shake them back and forth until they figure out how screwed up they are. When it comes to characters in a story, we want people we can believe actually exist in real life. Then take these characters, put them into an extraordinary situation. Extraordinary events are the only kind that can make the characters change. Our protagonist needs to reach rock bottom before he can see the error of his ways. He needs to face insurmountable obstacles before he can show how big of a hero he is by overcoming this insurmountable obstacle. He has to undergo devastating losses before he breaks down the barriers that separate him from the people around him and shows his true feelings. And after he changes, he will never be the same again. A new equilibrium is reached in the story after the conflict is resolved. And if you'll note, what I'm basically describing here is a story arc. So this huge mouthful really boils down to this. Give us good story arcs. Number two. Grab our attention and never let go. That's not to say there isn't room in especially a long story, such as a novel or a movie. There is indeed, in a longer story, room for areas of slow progress. You have to stop for breath at some point and explain the backstory, or explain the technology in a science fiction story, or explain some aspect of the story or the premise of the story that otherwise would be very boring. But before you do that, you have to establish momentum. That is, you have to grab our attention, get us so engrossed in what's happening in the story that when you hit this boring stuff, it isn't actually so boring anymore because it bears directly on the story arc that we are now involved in. We've been sucked in. This is something I notice a lot of beginning writers, especially, don't seem fully to grasp. Unfortunately, it's also something I occasionally see in published books. I'm not exactly sure how they got published, but I can assure you I never read past the first page of such a book, because it doesn't grab my attention. A story has to start with a bang. It has to start with a kick. A story is like a huge boulder, and you have to get it moving, which means at first you have to push really, really hard. But once that boulder is moving, once it's rolling, you can let up a little. You can pay attention to other aspects of the story that need paying attention to. And from then on, you really only have to nudge the boulder occasionally to keep it rolling. Number three, give us superhuman heroes. I didn't say give us perfect heroes. We do not want our protagonists to be perfect. We want our heroes to make mistakes. We want them to be human. We want them to be complex. Of course we do. That's number one. Introduce us to complex characters. So we want our heroes to be human beings, but we want them also to be superhuman. That is, we want them to face an extraordinary obstacle and overcome it. We do not want the obstacle to disappear. We do not want some god to come down from Mount Olympus and disappear the obstacle for our hero. And we do not, or at least I do not, want our hero to make the hard choice and tuck tail between his legs and run away. I mention this because it's one thing that really irked me about the new Battlestar Galactica pilot miniseries. When faced with the insurmountable threat of the Cylon force bearing down, and there was no escape, they were going to attack the remaining humans in the galaxy and destroy them all. And in the face of this imminent threat, Commander Adama and the other leaders of the fleet made the hard choice and decided that any ship that could jump to safety would do so and leave the other ones behind. And boy, was I disgusted. I literally felt like throwing up. I'd rather go watch old Star Trek episodes. At least Captain Kirk always found a way to win. I don't know, maybe I'm too much of a romance fan. I always want a happy ending. Now, this last one, actually, is, of the three, the most contentious. There are other classic stories that have sad endings, not even bittersweet endings. Bittersweet I can handle, but absolutely sad endings. A Streetcar Named Desire. I mean, didn't you want Blanche at some critical moment to crack and go insane and tear off Stanley's head or something in a fit of superhuman strength? Maybe that would be just a wee bit over the top, but you know what I mean, right? That's the kind of story that just leaves me with this bitter, bitter aftertaste, this sour stomach, and I just don't like it. But clearly there are people out there who do like it, or else how could there be any classic stories that have this distinct characteristic to them? Giving up. I know that that's often the realistic way out and the realistic choice that needs to be made, but frankly, in a good story, I don't want realism. I want hyper-realism. And so I do not want heroes. I want superheroes. Anyway, those are my top three things. Do you have things you think deserve to be in the top three? Come down to BeTheStory.com in this episode's blog entry. Leave a comment. Didn't I say this might be a short episode? Well, we'll be right back in a moment to talk about next week's.
I'd make a promo for my new podcast, but I really should be writing. Well, the podcast isn't new. It's 10 episodes in. I've discussed the issues people have with rejection, procrastination, getting started in writing fiction, and allowing yourself to suck. You don't always have to be perfect. I don't always have to be perfect. Except, I should be writing right now. See, when you're not perfect, when you don't have to worry about the rejection slips and the dusty, unfinished novel and the fear that when you do finish it, it won't be exactly like you imagined it, you can just write. And when you write, you get better at writing. And someday you'll be good enough to maybe never have to worry about rejection again. And the novels will never get dusty. My novel is dusty. I should be writing on it. Published authors think I should be writing. I know because I interview them once in a while for my podcast. They talk about the advice I've been giving other unpublished authors and tell me their spin and whether I'm steering my listeners wrong. They're very nice, those published writers. Perhaps someday I'll be like them. Nice. And published. But to do that, I should be writing. So I'm going to do that now. But first, I guess I'll make a short promo for the podcast. Listen to I Should Be Writing, shouldwrite.blogspot.com. See us in iTunes, Odeo, and wherever fine podcasts are found, because you should be writing.
I kind of feel like this podcast is reaching the point where it might be getting boring. Like I've used up all of my good ideas and now I don't know what to do. Well, actually, that's not true. I have lots of what I consider to be great ideas, and I'll just keep rattling them off one after the other after the other. But I feel like I've gone through all the major variations of these ideas, and now I'm kind of repeating myself. Which is fine. However, you, the listener, know better than I what makes this an engaging podcast. And so if you tell me, do more reviews, I'll do more reviews. Or do more story analyses, I'll do more. Or do more adventure games, hey, I'd love that. Or talk about this particular novel, I'd love that too. For the time being, you have to go to BeTheStory.com, email me. My email address is TimK@BeTheStory.com. One thing on my list that I've been meaning to get to, but it always seems to go on a back burner, is adding a discussion board to BeTheStory.com. That, of course, would probably be an easier way to talk about the podcast. So now that I've mentioned that, I guess that means I actually have to do it and install it. I have no excuse anymore. There, I've done it. I've committed. For the time being, next week, I'm going to talk about internal and external conflicts, or the crunchy shell and the creamy middle. Unfortunately, I couldn't use that title as the main title, or else no one would know what I was talking about. There are basically two types of conflicts that make a story arc. There are internal conflicts and external conflicts. These two are not necessarily mutually exclusive, and they work together, and sometimes they don't work together. And I'd like to talk about instances of each of these. That's next week on Be the Story. Before then, don't forget, Thursday, Be the Story Spotlight. I'll see you then.